The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? Our gospel takes place in the midst of fear, persecution, and uncertainty. John the Baptist is arrested for criticizing the robot puppet king Herod Antipas's moral behavior and oppressive economic policies, and Jesus withdraws to Galilee, although the Greek here is better translated, fled. Jesus flees to Galilee after a period of testing in the desert. In the desert, he's repeatedly invited to pursue and secure his own welfare, security, and power at the expense of others. Grounded in a lifelong relationship with God through daily prayer and study of the scriptures, Jesus rejects these seductive temptations. John's arrest opens up two distinct paths for Jesus. He can either lay low, keep quiet, and save his own skin, or he can step up and speak out. There is no middle ground. Jesus chooses the second option. From that time forward, Jesus proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." What does he mean? In Greek, the word translated repent, metanoia, means conversion, changing your thinking and your way of life. It means turning from whatever is keeping us from the fullness of life in God, coming to a new understanding and new practices leading to personal transformation. Here, Jesus is calling the people of his day to let God lead their lives, to participate in a God-centered way of viewing life and their place in it. As he travels around the Sea of Galilee, sharing the good news that the inbreaking of God's vision for human flourishing is near, Jesus invites two pairs of brothers to follow me. Today, Jesus also invites us to follow him by committing ourselves ever more fully to participating in God's work to bring reconciliation, healing, liberation, life, and light to neighbors near and far, to participate in God's work to build a trustworthy world. The core work of the church in our time is to help people encounter the healing power and love of the risen Christ and to equip them to follow the way of Jesus so they can live for God and others. This involves creating spaces for people to try new spiritual practices, to share stories, to participate in small experiments to learn more about what the Holy Spirit is up to, and to share their learnings with others. Since its very beginning, St. Matthew's Church has had a teaching charism. I believe that we need to deepen our commitment to raising up, equipping, and deploying Christian lay and ordained leaders to lead and thrive in a complex and ever-changing world. The leaders that we have mentored and encouraged are making a difference in the cities and in the places they live and work. This year, we will hold our first leadership retreat for the people of St. Matthew's to deepen our commitment to this ministry priority. I also believe that God is inviting us to continue to share our faith and our learnings communally, locally, nationally, and globally. Over the last 14 years, Dwight and I have shared learnings from this community in books, articles, and webinars, as well as at conferences, classes, and retreats. While we were not able to fund the hospitality coordinator position this year, and we don't have the capacity to run a large conference, St. Matthew's will host at least 2 half-day seminars for lay and ordained leaders in our newly refurbished parish hall. We will continue to be a lead teaching church in the Episcopal Church in Minnesota and for other denominations. St. Matthew's will continue to be a place of hope and inspiration for the wider church. This is one of those periods in history in which God's church must change in order to speak to new generations. While suspicious of institutions, younger generations are looking for authentic communities of practice and service. They are looking for meaning, contemplation, and opportunities to address the greatest challenges of our day. How might we offer hospitable spaces for conversations about God and the meaning of life, and opportunities for practice, including service in the wider community? In light of global climate change, we must care for God's creation and advocate for the vulnerable animals and human populations adversely impacted by global warming. This Lent, we're going to join together with 6 other Episcopal churches in the East Metro to pray, study, and discern how God might be calling us to act to seek healing for and preservation of this beautiful earth for future generations. We need to learn how to share the good news of Jesus' power to bring new life, health, and liberation. How to know Jesus and make him known in ways that are loving, generative, and non-coercive. We need to understand what the gospel is about and why participating in Jesus' way and in God's life is critical. We need to continue to deepen our ability to listen to our neighbors and learn from them. We need to continue to develop two-way relationships with the kinds of people Jesus surrounded himself with, those who went unseen, those who were looked down on and despised. In our day, this includes the poor, the homeless, refugees, and immigrants. We need to work with people of other denominations and faiths, and to see God at work in them. What is the core work of the church? It is to know Jesus and to make him known through prayer, discernment, study, storytelling, service, hospitality, silence, generosity, reconciliation, simplicity, gratitude, and Sabbath. It is to accept Jesus' invitation to follow me by participating in a life of light and love. It is to continue to deepen the amazing ministries already happening in and through the people of St. Matthew's in the world and at church, while learning how to better share our faith stories with one another and our neighbors. Matthew's gospel appropriates a handful of verses from Isaiah to try to convey what Jesus' appearance, message, and ministry mean to the people who encountered him. In Isaiah, the words, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light," were originally directed at the residents of Zebulun and Naphtali, borderlands of Assyria, living with the reality of Assyrians constantly raiding their crops, stealing their land, and taking their children into slavery. They lived in fear, great uncertainty about the future, and no hope in sight. Into this overwhelming situation, Isaiah spoke God's powerful words of promise. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. We have also seen and experienced a great light, and we have the opportunity to share this light with an overwhelmed, isolated, depressed, anxious, addicted, and broken world. In the words of today's psalmist, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" In the silence that follows, I want to invite you into the spiritual practice for Epiphany, which is visualizing the light of Christ. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and to see that light. Perhaps it's helpful to visualize that light as a star or a cross on your forehead, or perhaps it's helpful to just visualize that healing light moving through your body. But I invite you to do that in this silence. Amen.